Well, this morning we are in Romans chapter 10. And the context here is that we're in a section where Paul is answering the difficult question of if salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus was a Jew, then why in the world have not more Jews come to the faith? Well, this morning's passage really begins back in verse 12. And that was kind of where we wrapped up a few weeks ago when we looked at this section. It says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, that is the good news of the gospel. And yes, it really is that simple. Salvation doesn't come through good works or religious ritual or getting all your T's dotted, T's crossed and I's dotted. It isn't restricted to the Jews or any nationality or denomination. Salvation comes as God's free gift to every single individual who calls upon the name of Jesus. Okay? And that is what leads into Paul's questions that start in verse 14. So let's go ahead and read the passage. Paul writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Excuse me. "But I asked, did they not eat?" Let me start that over. I think my back has come up to my throat. "But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation, and I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." Okay? Paul's first point in this passage is the necessity of evangelism. And then, and it's talking about the critical importance of heralds who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at the questions that Paul asks in verse 14 and 15. The first question he asks is, how then can they call upon one they have not believed in? Remember, Paul has just proclaimed that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So now his question is, okay, how can they do that? How do they do that? And Paul's second question is, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Okay, how could anyone believe in someone they've not even heard of? Well, of course, that question is obvious enough. Can you believe in someone you haven't heard of? Of course not. So Paul's next question is, so how do they hear? They hear when someone proclaims the good news. Okay, look at the end of verse 4. They hear when someone comes and tells them the good news of Jesus Christ. And folks, the good news here is many times it's almost, it is a term that Paul and others in the New Testament use to kind of shorthand for the gospel. Okay, gospel, literally, our word gospel, the Greek word is a transliteration, is a direct word from Greek that literally means good news. Okay? So when Paul says, how can they hear without someone preaching them? How can they hear this good news? Paul's talking about how can they hear the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings salvation? How can they hear without someone preaching it to them? Okay, and then finally, Paul's fourth question is in verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? How can they preach? How can they go out with this message of incredible good news unless someone sends them out? And then he quotes Isaiah 52:7 by declaring something that no one has ever said about me, and that is, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay? It's a quote from Isaiah 52:7, and Paul's point there is how beautiful it is when someone comes with good news. Okay? I've always laughed at this one because if you've ever seen me with my shoes off, it's a scary sight. Okay, I have some of the worst feet. I can't get shoes that fit, etc., etc. And so I've always laughed at this because this is my job. This is my primary calling, is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul's first point in this section is the necessity of evangelism. How important it is for individuals and people to tell the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's absolutely essential that we take this good news to everyone so that they have the opportunity to receive the grace that God has for them. Okay? John R.W. Stott sums it up well when he says this. He says, the essence of Paul's argument here is seen if we put his six verbs in the opposite order. Christ sends heralds. Heralds preach. People hear. Hearers believe. Believers call, and those who call are saved. Okay? That is a short version of how God intends for the gospel to work. Okay? Pretty simple, right? Yes, and that's exactly part of the problem. The process is so simple, and yet the Jews have not responded. The very people of the race of Jesus, the very people that Jesus was born among, the very people that Jesus spent most of his time with, have not responded to this incredibly simple and incredibly gracious offer. And so in verse 16, Paul begins addressing Israel's response. He says, it says that in essence what he does here is, in spite of the simplicity of the gospel message, Israel's response is one of unbelief. They are rejecting the message. Verse 16, Paul says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Okay, what Paul is doing here is he's acknowledging Israel's unbelief and pointing out that her unbelief, though crazy, when you think about it, was anticipated. He quotes Isaiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, as a way of saying, this is nothing new. Israel has always rejected God's word. Israel has always rejected what God was doing. Okay? That's why Isaiah cries out, who has believed our message? We've got this incredible good news, and who has believed it? But that leads Paul to ask the critical question, well, how can that be? How can it be that an offer this good and this simple is not accepted by those to whom it is first offered? Well, Paul goes on in verse 17. He says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Okay, and again, it's Paul just simplifying things once again. It's Paul boiling it down to its most simplest form. He says, faith comes from hearing the message. Well, again, we need to ask, what message? Well, I believe it's the simple message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is culminated in verse 12, where Paul says, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's Paul saying that the essence of the gospel, the essence of our way to God, is simply receiving the gift that God has already given us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, Paul's initial point is about the simplicity of the gospel. It isn't something that requires a grand theologian to figure it out. Now, in fact, sometimes the grand theologians, in essence, complicate it and confuse it beyond recognition. Okay? No, it is simply a matter of hearing, believing, and then receiving God's grace towards us. It really is that simple. And so that naturally leads to Paul's next couple of questions. And the next question is, if it's really that simple, then did they not hear? Okay, look at verse 18. But I ask, did they not hear? Well, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Paul is saying the message is so simple and they have not responded. So the first most obvious question was, did they hear? Maybe no one told them. Maybe their ears were closed. Maybe they weren't able to hear when the message was given. Well, Paul's answer is no, of course they heard. He says the message has gone to the ends of the earth, so of course it was told in the locale of its beginning. It's been told. They've heard it. Well, then the next question is, well, if they've heard it, maybe they didn't understand it. Look at verse 19. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation who has no understanding. In other words, Paul says, okay, maybe they heard it, but maybe the message was confusing. Well, no, that isn't the problem. The problem isn't that it's complicated. The problem isn't that they don't understand it. I mean, there is a sense in which they don't understand it, but the reason they don't understand it is because of their rejection and their rebellion against God's free gift. You see, the problem is they are in rebellion to God. And in their rebellion to God, He is handing them over to their jealousy of the other nations. Okay, what Paul's saying here is he's saying God, they've rejected it, so God is bringing in all the Gentiles in the hopes that the Jews will see the Gentiles coming to faith, coming to Christ, and be jealous and envious of what the Gentiles are receiving, and in turn repent and turn to God as well. You see, Israel has rejected God's good news, so God is bringing in the nations in hopes that that will also help bring Israel back to faith. Paul is saying in no uncertain terms that Israel has rejected God. But God hasn't given up on her. He has just moved on to the Gentiles in the hopes that one day Israel will wake up and turn to Christ as well. Okay, so what's Paul's conclusion? Why has Israel not believed? Answer, because Israel is too stubborn to believe. Look at verse 20 and 21. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Okay? Israel is too stubborn to believe. Okay? The reason that Israel rejected God's message, the reason that Israel rejected the good news of Jesus Christ is because of her stubbornness and obstinance. Okay? It's not because the message is too complicated. It's not because it's confusing. It is simply because Israel has refused to believe. Okay? Well, that's the message. And I know we're making it through the message a lot quicker today, in part because my back's not allowing me to think straight, but also just this is a shorter section that we want to get through. But let's take a few minutes now and just apply it. What is this message this morning say to you and me? Well, the first thing I think it says to us is that, yes, it really is that simple. I think one of the things that we have to remind ourselves quite often about the gospel is it really is that simple. The essence of the gospel is that God sent His Son to this earth and He willingly gave up His life as a sacrifice for you and me. And because of God's incredibly generous work in Jesus Christ, because of Jesus' obedience to the Father and His love for us that allowed Him to go through that and do that for us, the debt is paid. My sin, your sin, the sin of everyone from Adam through the end of the creation of the universe has been paid for. The debt has been paid completely. And so since the debt is paid completely, my salvation, my relationship with God, is completely and solely dependent now upon my willingness to receive God's free gift. It really is that simple. It doesn't require a grand set of religious rituals. It doesn't require jumping through 12 hoops. It doesn't require getting our life straightened out and fixed from this point forward. It simply requires accepting the good news of Jesus Christ. Accepting the reality that outside of Christ, I was hopelessly lost. But by receiving the work of Jesus Christ in my life, I am transformed from darkness into light and into a place where God no longer sees my sin, but instead sees His Son, Jesus Christ. And folks, that's incredibly good news. And it really is that simple. And that's part of Paul's message that he goes over and over in the book of Romans. It's really that simple, and it's 100% by faith and grace. But then secondly, I think we need to see from this passage that we can't allow others' lack of faith to prevent us from coming to faith. You know, how many people have you heard say something to the effect of, well, the reason that I'm not in faith, the reason I don't believe in Jesus, or the reason that I don't, you know, I'm not part of the fellowship is because of all the hypocrites that I've seen. Because of people who claim to be of faith, but obviously weren't. People who said one thing and did quite another. Okay? That is the history of mankind. That is my history. You know, at some point, my children, when they grow up, they will go through a phase where they will see all of my flaws and all my faults, and they will see them with a grand magnifying lens. And in that place, one of the temptations that they will face is Satan twisting that and saying, see, if your father, who was a preacher, a pastor, et cetera, if your father still had all these flaws, still had all this mess, then obvious the message that he preached isn't true. Well, folks, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I would say that my failures are further proof of the power and the truth of the gospel. Because you see, we are all in a place of, in one sense, being hypocrites. But in another sense, do you realize that you cannot really be a hypocrite when you own your own junk? You know, in a very real sense, when we are honest about our junk, honest about our inability to do it right, then it's impossible to be a hypocrite. Because in fact, one of the things that I've seen forever is that I find it pretty easy to deal with most criticism, because in the back of my mind I'm thinking, yeah, but you only know a small portion of this. My mess is much worse than even what is being presented against me. And when I have that realization, then I'm able to turn it back to God and say, but God, it's yours. Okay? And we can't allow others' lack of faith. We can't be in that. We can't allow Satan to take the lie of others, our parents, religious leaders in front of us, others that we know, etc., and allow him to wash away what God is doing in our lives, because things aren't the way that we think they should be. Okay? God's church on the earth is always been and always will be broken. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect places. We are all a mess. But when our focus becomes on seeing where lack of faith and lack of commitment to Christ has taken people on, you know, where we look at that and we become so focused on what's wrong, then we fail to see that God is at work. You know, one reality is that even in the most messed up of places, God is at work. And so one of the things that we need to do is, you know, for Paul, in Paul's day, the question was, well, how can this faith be true if the Jews themselves do not embrace it? In your day, in my day, it might be, how can this faith be true when those who've grown up with it have rejected it? Well, the answer is, it can be true because it is true. Because it is God's free gift to each one of us. It is that simple, and God calls us to believe even when those who've gone before us have done it poorly. And that's true for every generation. Every generation has, Satan uses with every generation the evidence of the failures of the previous generation as proof that this system really isn't true. And yet, God's word is true. And God's promise is that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. And it is really that simple. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you today and we just confess that sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to really receive. In many respects, Lord, it seems like it would be easier to receive the gospel message if there were really hard things we had to do to obtain it. If we had to go on some quest, if we had to go on some big journey, if we had to accomplish incredibly difficult things to somehow earn it, then Lord, if that were the case, then there would be a significant part of our flesh and our pride that would want to grab hold of that, because then we could have the illusion that we've accomplished something, Lord. And yet, in your divine wisdom, Lord, you didn't make it that way. You created a system by which all we have to do is call upon the name of your Son Jesus. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in the reality that He has done what He said He would do, and that He has washed us clean of every transgression, and that we are whole and perfect and righteous in your sight. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide each one of us and give us the clarity of knowing that we are yours, knowing that no matter what, you are glad as glad can be to be with us. And Lord, I just thank you for being our mighty God and for being a God who sees us that way. And Lord, I just pray against the discouragement and the lies that Satan tries to weave when we see our parents or previous generation or leaders in our church or others who aren't living up to even the standards they proclaim. And the temptation that comes with that to throw it all out because it obviously doesn't work. Because, Lord, the reality is, it is that simple. And that we can come to you by faith and we can experience the mighty work you're doing in our lives just by hearing, believing, and receiving the word you have for us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for being our mighty God. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And it really is that simple. And if we can grab hold of that, then no matter what Satan throws at us this week, we can be okay. Because we know that our Heavenly Father is not just okay, He's delighted in us. Even in those really crummy places that we find ourselves in over and over again. And so let me just encourage you to take that truth with you this week, and we are dismissed.